Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
That's the inch towards the return of sports. And I'm receiving a text, though. And Chris, I don't know if you know about this either. We have one of the three members of the show is going to be a big TV star at some point in the next couple hours. Did you know about this, Chris?
I did not know about it, but I'm pretty sure that would be one Rick DiPietro to chime in on the proposal from Gary Bettman in the NHL about their return to play.
Rick, why don't you hop in and enlighten all of us? Is this what's happening?
Yeah, it is in fact me, and I can promise you one thing. It probably took me longer, not probably, it 100% took me longer to shave than I will actually be on SportsCenter this afternoon at noon.
So you're gonna excuse yourself from this show for a few minutes, right? I mean, granted, the noon is the big hour, the power hour, but you're gonna excuse yourself. You're gonna go to your, I guess they do it on Zoom, right? Is how they have to do it?
No, we're actually doing it on FaceTime.
Oh, on FaceTime.
Which should be interesting, yeah.
All right. So
you're from Long Island, Dave. You understand the Wi-Fi / cell service in the area is not great.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's touch and go.
Yeah, touch and go is...
So right off, so you're leading the noon hour on SportsCenter with a live hit into the home of one Rick DiPietro to analyze where we are with the NHL.
Yeah, I think it's like 12:05-ish. Now, here's the question. Do I do this from, like, where I probably should do it, like, which is kind of, I mean, more Cassie's office than my office?
Well, what looks
or should
that?
I mean, here's the question, though. Do I try to look better... Or do I try to look funny? Do I do it from maybe like the bathtub? Like, where should I do this thing from?
I think the bathtub. Yes.
I think. From the bath?
I think you should go with the bathtub. Office.
Yeah, like a nice little bubble. I haven't seen anyone do it from the bubble bath yet. Like, what about a nice little, like a luxurious bubble bath?
How great would it be, Chris, if we tune into SportsCenter at noon and you have just the head of Rick DiPietro popping out of the bath and bubbles are surrounding and he's breaking down the NHL?
Dave, that would be an unforgettable moment in not just sports television, but television, period.
It would. It would be MASH finale, Cheers finale, American Idol finale.
I mean, we're talking about having him on World News Tonight with David Muir.
Yeah, they'd probably
have to
leave with
him. That's how big that could be.
Right, pandemic be damned, right? We have a man whose head is popping out of a bubble bath live on national television.
That would be the last segment of the nightly news, America Strong. Rick DiPietro talking about a return to hockey and doing it from his bathtub.
Yes, awful announcing's going to pick it up. Probably be the homepage of ESPN.com. The Last Dance would be secondary in conjunction with this. Yeah, I think you should do it. Bubble bath.
Yeah, but it reminds me with the...
You've swayed me, Dave. I think we should go bubble bath, too.
Bubble bath.
Yeah. All in.
You can try it once. I think that'd be the first and only time you'd ever see me in the bathtub, and probably the last time you'd ever see me on SportsCenter, though.
I don't know that that's true, because I think it would garner groundswell support, and I think people would fall in love with it, and I think it would be a big deal. Because, let's be honest.
I think people would tune in. Dave, people would tune in to see where Rick DiPietro does his next hit
SportsCenter. What was that old show?
It was a
kid show. Rick, you probably know. Where in the world is Carmen Santiago?
San Diego.
That's what it'd be like for you. It would be like, where is Rick in his bath? Is Rick in the sauna? Is Rick in the jacuzzi? Is Rick in the pool? Like, where is Rick going to do his next hit from on SportsCenter?
It's like, where's Waldo? Where's Ricky?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
100%.
Yes.
You guys going to talk to San Diego.
You know what's going to happen is you're going to talk me into this.
Well, I think it's a great idea.
I have it all set up.
The more we talk about it, I think it's a great idea. I think it's a phenomenal idea.
Because how many people on
SportsCenter? Don't be like everybody else.
How many people on SportsCenter DC and they pop on and you're like, all right, you know, interesting things to say. And 5 minutes later, you forget anything about it. This would be etched in people's memory if you did it from a bubble bath.
Yeah, you're probably right. But again, I mean, I suggested, you know, what do you think about the mustache? And I got, well, we can ask. So, I mean, if the mustache was a question and I had to shave that off, I'm not sure how me in a bubble bath is going to necessarily go over.
Here's how I set the scene.
Rick, you've never really cared about being a guy that submits to authority. Fly in the face of the powers that be, man. Do your own thing.
Spit in the face of it. Here's what would be great.
Listen.
They have the camera there over an empty bubble bath, and your head just erupts from the bubble bath, and you shake it to get the bubbles off your forehead. You're like, oh, good morning. And then you get right into it.
Yeah, he just got done cleansing himself in the waters of Lake Minnesota.
Yes.
Yeah, you're going to talk me into it. That's what's going to happen here. And I'm going to get in trouble. But hey, listen, if it helps the show, of course, I'll consider it.
Santiago's somewhat the voice of reason, right? I mean, if Chris and I, you don't believe in us. Santiago, you would agree? Out of the bubble bath, the head of one Rick DiPietro?
Not sure. Go for it.
Yeah, see? We're all in agreement.
Be entertained.
I can't.
I think we should carry it live on the radio show, Dave.
Oh,
we should carry the hit live.
I think we should. Santiago, that's something we can do, right? Carry it live?
You want to stream it?
Well, yeah.
I think that'd be a great idea.
Yeah, that'd be a great idea. What host will you be working with? Randy Scott?
I'm not sure yet. I haven't been told. I'm waiting for the email. I haven't gotten an email yet.
Oh, this is going to be terrific.
It would line up better because I have a relationship with Matt and L.
Uh-huh.
That would probably be the best case scenario, but I mean, again, it's going to all depend.
Oh, so good. It'd be so good. All right. This has me more excited than the return of the NHL. I mean, this is just really, I couldn't be more excited about 12 o'clock today. I don't know. Chris, I don't know how you and I are going to keep our composure talking sports as he's doing his live hit on SportsCenter. We hope, we pray that the bubble bath is involved.
What if I pop out of the bubble bath?
Host.
How about this? What if I pop out of the bubble bath with a suit jacket and tie on?
Yes, it has to be that. But that's what it has to be. I just assumed that you would have the suit jacket and tie on.
Now we're talking. Now this could possibly happen.
And just that's straight face. They ask you a question. You're like, well, Al, here's what I'm thinking. And you like wipe off bubbles off your left shoulder. Oh.
What about with some goggles on and I just lift the goggles up?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Yeah. That'll be so good. All right. Oh, boy, that's really exciting to think about this happening at 12 o'clock today. All right. 800-919-3776. We have Mike Tenenbaum, so we'll get into the Jamal Adams story with him right in the top of the 11 o'clock hour. But, guys, we talked about it yesterday. There were conference calls all over the place. Let's start with the good. NHL, the commissioner addressed things yesterday at 4:30. It's what we thought. Now, we don't have an exact time frame. We'll find that out soon, but it's what we thought. Five teams are going to get the buys. 16 teams. Is it five teams? No, eight teams will get the buys, right? And then the remaining 16 teams are going to play to move on to that second round of the postseason. It sounds like we're heading down this road, and it looks like hockey might be the first sport to return.
Well, it depends. I mean, the time frame, we're still not – I mean, they won't start training camps till at the earliest July 1st. So, I mean, July 1st is when they'll start training camps. They'll bring everybody in. Guys are having voluntary workouts now. You know, six players at the facility, be able to work out, no contact drills. I think that was – I mean – you guys can correct me if I'm wrong. The clip of Kaapo Kakko and Georgie, that was a new clip, right? Georgie taking shots?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, yep. So you'll see stuff like that. A lot of guys haven't skated. I mean, you're talking about, I think James Van Riemsdyk said he hasn't skated in 10 weeks, hasn't left, which is the case for most of these guys. So trying to get your legs back, your lungs back. You'll have the 3-week training camp. I mean, listen, Dave, fingers crossed. This thing keeps moving in the right direction. Got to figure out where the hub city is going to be. Of course, they would like two locations, right? Yeah, it looks like Vegas is probably going to be one of those cities, and they'd like to have one of those cities. Seems like Chicago should be one.
Chicago should be one, right?
Well, they want one in Canada. They want a Canadian city because it's cheap. The Canadian dollar is cheaper than the American dollar right now, so it would cost them less to put the games on. But they're just waiting for... They're trying to work with Canadian authorities to make sure that if they can make that a possibility, they don't have the 14-day quarantine once they get up there. So they can get their players up there and not have to shut it down for 2 weeks before they can restart. But I know there's a couple teams. Tampa voted against it in Carolina. You know, Carolina, obviously, because they have to play the Rangers, and they're 0-4 against the Rangers. But, I mean, this is going to be exciting, dude. I'm telling you right now. You got the guys I've talked to are chomping at the bit. They're all in good shape. They've been working out. I mean, you're going to see it might take a couple games to kind of get your timing and everything back, but you're going to see fully rested, for the most part, fully healthy teams battling it out in meaningful games from day one. Dude, I can't even tell you how excited I am for this.
I like the formatting of it, though, Rico. I mean, you're giving teams that were on the fringe of being in the playoffs the opportunity to actually play their way in with that qualifying round, that best of five series. I think that's pretty cool. And then having the top seeds in the two conferences be able to battle it out to see who gets that number one overall seeding. I think those are Those are interesting innovations by Gary Bettman, and it seems like it has the approval of the NHLPA. So I think they're trying to find a path forward where everybody can agree on something that's fair in terms of teams being able to vie for playoff spots, which is in contrast to what we've heard from Damian Lillard and his Portland Trailblazers about wanting to have a real opportunity to get into the postseason, not just finish off the regular season with some flugazi schedule, with not actually having a chance to get into the tournament. So I like that hockey is taking that approach and actually giving teams the chance to get in with that qualifying round. I think that's cool. And that gives you more content to be able to sell to the television companies as well, because you got to be able to make up some of the regular season games that you missed with some of your national television partners. And I think that gives you the ability to be able to do that. Rather than having 16 teams in, you actually have 24 teams. So you're going to have that many more games.
And look how starved we are for sports. I mean, we are starving for it. You put on a documentary about Michael Jordan, and it's you know, constant conversation, sports talk radio, and the numbers are through the roof. We led the show yesterday with Lance Armstrong documentary. We discussed it at length yesterday, a charity golf event between two guys who don't even play golf and two guys who are some of the greatest in the world. If the NHL comes back and comes back first, I can't – I'm excited because I love hockey. I can't imagine – what kind of numbers, what kind of conversation? I mean, we'd lead the show. That would be it. There would be no more, oh, I can't believe you guys are talking hockey to lead the show. It would be Rangers, Islanders. That would be it. That would be the conversation for the bulk of the show. I mean, Rick, hockey has a real chance, and I get it. You don't want to capitalize in a bad situation, but they have a real chance to push the sport forward if they come back, and they come back first.
Yeah, but more importantly, Dave, you love hockey. But, I mean, even if you're just a fringe hockey fan, like, you're just a sports fan in general. So I know you love the Rangers, you love hockey. So we already have you. If you just like hockey, but you're not that into it, not only are you getting hockey, you're getting playoff hockey. And a lot of
Which
people make
the
argument there's
yes.
no better, exactly right. There's no better playoffs than NHL playoffs. So, I mean, it's a rare opportunity too with no summer games in their partnership with NBC. So you're going to get a chance to, you know, put this on national television. You have to be searching around. I mean, you know, how frustrated would you get when you're searching around trying to find where the NHL game is? Is it on CNBC?
How many times have you had that?
I've
had that a million times. And I know the channels well, and I'm a hockey guy. And I can't tell you how many times, like, oh God, I can't find Edmonton, Calgary. What channel is this game on tonight?
Yeah, it's painful. I mean, it's like you have to go out of your way. So, I mean, how many people, unless you're, you know, a true hockey fan, are going to start, you know, trying to Google where the hell you're going to find these things? So now you have the opportunity to put it in front of, you know, the maximum amount of eyes, and hopefully you start to, you know, get those fringe fans or those people that really aren't interested in hockey to become hockey fans, and you start gaining a bigger fan base now because of this.
Yep. All right. Here's the commissioner. Santi, let's play this. Rolling out the NHL, the full plan in place to roll out the NHL return.
We are currently in phase one of our pause, during which clubs have been instructed to self-isolate as much as possible and have done so. In early June, we expect to be able to enter phase two, during which clubs can return to their individual practice facilities for voluntary small group on and off ice training. Yesterday, we released a comprehensive protocol that will govern how we will operate in phase two. Phase three will be the opening of formal training camps. The timing of our entry into phase three again will be determined by guidance from medical and civil authorities. While we are anxious to open camps as soon as possible, we don't envision doing so before the first half of July. Finally, when appropriate, we will move to phase four, in which our participating clubs will report to their respective hub cities and we will resume play. Obviously, we anticipate playing over the summer and into the early fall.
So there you have it. I mean, that's the plan.
Well, here's what I love. Yeah, but here's what I love. And we'll see. I mean, I heard Gary yesterday talk about, you know, what they do after the play-ins. Do they bracket? Sounds like the players want to reseed, which I think makes the most sense. They should reseed. I've been saying that all along. To actually give you a true advantage. You know, if you're going to play a round robin between the top four teams, I mean, you're playing for seeding. So it should benefit you if you do the best in that round robin. So if, you know, for example, you know, a 12 beats a 5 and I won the round robin, so I have the number one seed, I should play the 12 seed. You know what I'm saying? Like, there should be a distinct advantage going into the first round of the playoffs. What I love about the NHL, and I was sitting there thinking about it this morning, is we're not necessarily known as the most progressive of the four major sports. That usually ends up being, you know, the NBA and Adam Silver. I love the fact that they've almost approached this thing backwards. where their focus has been, because you're at the mercy right now of the virus, right? Like, you have no idea state to state when everything's going to open up, how it's going to look day to day, week to week. But what they focused on is, how can we get all 82 games in next season and start as late as possible? Because I think the most valuable thing you can do for all these leagues now is buy time. And it sounds like they found a way to have next season start as late as January 1st and still fit in the 82 games and give yourself maximum opportunity to have fans in seats, which I love.
Well, yeah, they're going to have to be able to recover some of the money that they're losing this year. And even if you can't recover it, I mean, the players are going to have to make some concessions with the escrow, but everybody's going to be looking to bounce back financially in the 2020-2021 season, and being able to get all 82 games in and potentially having fans in the arenas, that's going to go a long ways to doing that. So that absolutely makes sense. The part of the proposal that I actually like is the ramp-up time. Like, we've spent so much time talking about the logistics and bubble cities and making sure you keep the athletes safe from the standpoint of not transmitting COVID-19 to one another. But we also have to talk about getting these athletes acclimated to being able to play, being back on the ice and getting ready to play with the kind of intensity that you're going to need when it comes to playoff hockey. And so I think the timeline that Gary Bettman outlined yesterday, you know, having those official training camps in early July, I think that lays out perfectly in terms of giving guys that 6 to 8 week acclimation period so they can get their bodies in the shape that it's going to take in order to put the very best product on the ice. So, you know, I think that hockey is on its way to being able to knock it out of the park. They have a clear plan, and it seems like they have the cooperation of the players. And it's a plan that actually makes sense when you factor all of those things, all of the necessary concerns into it. So I like the direction that this is going, and it feels like they're going to be one of the first team sports to return.
Now, Rick, correct me if I'm wrong, it would be Eastern Conference would be in one location and Western Conference would be in the other location, right?
Correct. Correct. And then they're also open to, I mean, in the big word that he's throwing around is flexibility. They're also open to the possibility that as we move further along, you know, get further along in this process, if there is the ability to have, let's say, for example, you know, the two teams playing in the Stanley Cup move back into their own home arenas, they would consider that.
Which is
smart. If you can have fans, which is smart.
Why pigeonhole yourself into anything now, right? I mean, we don't know where we're going to be when we get to the Stanley Cup Finals, which is probably, what, October? We don't know.
No, you have no idea. But that's what I like. I like the fact that they've created a plan that does have a certain amount of, you know, agility and flexibility. Like, they're giving themselves as much time as they can possibly have, where they can award a Stanley Cup this season, finish this season in the right way, have a legitimate playoffs, so there's no asterisk or anything else, which is ridiculous, and then still have enough time to give, you know, your players the appropriate rest and then start up next season with, I mean, who knows, you know, if there'll be a possibility, but I like my chances of having fans in seats in January as opposed to, you know, trying to start the season when it normally would start in October.
Yeah, I like that idea too. And I think that has to be the focus when you start talking about a return to play for the NHL and for the NBA, is just making sure that what's happened now with this pandemic doesn't affect what happens in the upcoming regular season. And I think you have to lay out your plans accordingly. And it seems like Gary Bettman and the NHL have done that. So from that standpoint, we have to feel good about the direction that they're going in. But I mean, I'm excited that you're going to have this new playoff format, and it seems like you're going to have an opportunity to see teams get knocked off, especially early on. Because, I mean, with everything that's going on, I mean, it's kind of crazy to think of it in these terms, but I mean, this is almost like the NCAA tournament. Like, you feel like anything can happen. And Dave, I know you've mentioned this before. I mean, it's not outside of the norm to see an 8 seed knock off a 1 seed
in the
Stanley Cup playoffs. It happens. But now you're talking about not 16 teams, but 24 teams being involved. So a team that could potentially miss the playoffs actually has an opportunity to win a playoff series in advance. So I just like the fact that you could have disruption in terms of the teams at the top getting knocked off by teams that are at the bottom. I just think that it makes it intriguing looking at the playoff field from that standpoint.
And I don't want to hear anybody complaining. The Carolina Hurricanes, it's awful what they're doing. I mean, they wouldn't vote for this to go through. They're unhappy. They think they're getting hosed by having to take on the Rangers. Give me a break. I mean, you're going to get 24 teams in. You're going to get four teams in each conference. They're going to get, you know, buys, and they're going to have a little round robin. You're going to have a chance. So you know what? If Montreal wins the Stanley Cup and they wouldn't have gotten in, then so be it. I mean, I don't think this is the time for complaining, and I don't think this is a bad way to come back in the NHL anyway. But you're going to hear it. You'll hear it. I mean, you hear rumblings of people or fans that are unhappy. It is the last thing I want to hear right now. I think you focus on the fact that we are inching towards the return of hockey, and that's got to be first and foremost for everyone.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I would understand it. I mean, Tampa voted no. I would understand if, you know, if part of the format was that, you know, those top four teams would also have to, you know, participate. Like, they could be knocked out in the best of five.
But they can't. They're getting buys. Voted no.
Exactly right. So I could understand that, you know, being a reason why you would have voted no if that was the case, but that's not the case. I mean, you have a team like the Islanders who has 68 games, and they're a point out of the playoffs, right? And Columbus has played 70 games, and they had 81 points. So, I mean, it was so close. I mean, there were so many teams so close. And, you know, the fact of the matter for us here in New York, I mean, if you're an Islanders fan, right, you're going to have your team back for the most part fully healthy. You have Casey back. You'll have Clutter back. I mean, you'll have your team, you know, as close to, you know, healthy as humanly possible. And then if you're a Rangers fan, I mean, you'll have Shesterkin back healthy. You'll have Kreider back healthy. I mean, you got to love your chances, especially with the matchup going against Carolina. So this is, I mean, dude, I'm telling you right now, this is going to be so exciting for hockey fans to get a chance to watch, you know, who knows which team it ends up being. Could it be, you know, could it be the Arizona Coyotes because they got one of the best goalies in the league? You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be a lot of opportunities here for either a goalie or a team to get hot and make a run.
Now, one arena, right, in each location?
Yeah, one arena in each in
so
each of the hub cities.
Like, you're going to get a full day. It's going to be like the Olympics. You're going to get a noon game, a 3 o'clock game, a 6 o'clock. I mean, you're going to just all day, you're going to wind up with games, right? Littered from beginning to end?
Yeah. I mean, you're going to get all the hockey you want.
I mean, how good is this?
Well, it's going to be awesome. I think I'm underselling how great this is going to be. This is going to be amazing.
Rick and Dave, I think it's going to be so good that you're going to draw in fans that that wouldn't necessarily tune into hockey. You're going to have sports fans that are not necessarily the biggest on hockey. They're going to tune in. They're going to watch just because it's going to be interesting, and they've been craving live team sports. There's only so far a golf exhibition can take you in terms of satisfying your craving for sports, and I think that if the NHL is indeed able to pull this off and they're able to be one of the first ones back, I think you're going to draw in a lot of other casual sports fans that you might not otherwise have. So I think it's an exciting opportunity for hockey because a lot of people, you know, don't necessarily pay attention to what's going on in the stretch run at the end of the regular season and teams vying for playoff position. But to have an opportunity to turn on the television and see playoff intensity and see how these guys actually get after it, I think that's going to draw in a lot of other fans that hockey might not otherwise have. So that could be a huge win for the sport. There's going to be tremendous value in being one of the first team sports back.
I just think with how they've set this thing up with, you know, guys coming back now, having an opportunity to get back on the ice, skate, and then you'll have the training camp and not get this thing, you know, back ramped up to games until, you know, later in July. Because hockey's one of those sports, as much as you train, as many, you know, miles as you run or the bike rides and everything else, sprints. I mean, once you get skates on, it's a completely different ballgame. You're like, I mean, you can't believe, you thought you were in great shape until you started skating. And then you're like, oh, man, I must not have done enough. This is one of those sports where it takes you a bit to get acclimated. But, I mean, from the guys that I've spoken to, I mean, I just think the level of play with this all-out sprint to try to win a championship,
yep,
with these guys being rested and, I mean, sitting at home for all these months. And this is the longest a lot of these guys have been off the ice ever
since they started skating, I'm sure.
So I think you're going to see fast. You're going to see physical. I mean, you're going to see a real intense brand of hockey. And I'm not at all concerned about not having fans in seats and how that will affect the product on the ice. Because, I mean, you're playing. This is not just like Chris. I mean, Chris used the word fugazi. This is not like a fugazi, let's come back, play, you know, let's finish up the regular season. You're not going to see that. You're seeing meaningful series. You're seeing teams best of five, right to it, battling for a Stanley Cup in a sport where, I mean, you've seen it. I mean, you mentioned it. I mean, you saw an 8 seed wipe out the best team in the NHL last year. Swept them. So that's in the back of your mind, too, is that, I mean, it's possible. So this is going to be, I'm telling you right now, this is going to be, of the sports coming back, I mean, baseball will come back. It'll be regular season. So, I mean, we all love baseball, but the level of intensity that you're going to see coming out of these NHL games is going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, and let's be fair. Here in New York, and I don't care what it is. I just whatever they do to bring it back is fine for me. But I think it's the odds of both the Rangers and Islanders getting into the postseason, if we would have finished up the season normally, were very slim. It was going to be very difficult for both those things to happen. So in some way, if we get both teams, which we would if under this, you know, proposed scenario, both teams get in like this, I mean, you have two teams that are involved in the postseason. It'll be so good. I can't tell you how excited I am for the return of hockey.
And you have two teams, Dave, you have two teams that could be a matchup nightmare for whoever they play, just based on the style of play. I mean, the Rangers are young, but they're tremendously talented. And then, of course, with the Islanders, the way that they play that grinded out style, I mean, those are teams that can knock off anybody once we get to the Stanley Cup playoffs. So I think that makes it exciting for the tri-state area. I mean, because you have two teams that are going to be in that might not have made it in under regular circumstances. And so I think that adds a little more sauce to it for us with a little bit of a local flavor. I think seeing those two teams compete on that stage, that's going to be huge, especially what this area has been going through with the pandemic, because we're one of the most hard-hit areas in the country.
Now, here's the question for you, Rick. You dislike the Rangers. Tremendous disdain for the Rangers. Rangers Hurricanes, best of five. Who are you rooting for?
I'm going to root for the Rangers. Mm-hmm. I'm going to root for Quinny. I don't like the fact that Carolina's already making excuses, not voting yes on this proposal because they don't like the matchup. Stop. It's not fair for anybody.
You're a good man. See, you get it. It took a while, but you finally got it.
Well, just think about this, though. If both of these teams win the play-ins and now they're playoff teams, what do we get to do on a daily basis?
Talk hockey.
Talk hockey, right? Yeah. Exactly right. Which is what I love.
Especially if it's the first to return. I mean, could you imagine?
But that's what I love, though.
To July 20th, and hockey is the only thing that there is live sports wise.
Yeah, I can't. I mean,
let's do that baseball thing.
I mean, we'll get into the whole baseball thing. That would be sad for baseball if hockey ends up being the first sport back.
It's sounding more and more like that's going to be the case, though.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, I was watching Real Sports with Brian Gumbel last night, and he had the executive directors from all of the players' unions. He had, with the exception of, I'm forgetting, but he had Tony Clark on, he had Michelle Roberts on, and he had Dee Maurice Smith on, and all of them were discussing everything, and they were saying that with basketball and with football, that they are a little less confident that they're going to have that return. And then, of course, we're all also hearing the news out of the baseball world and what's been going on with the proposal that the owners put on the table yesterday. It feels more and more like hockey is getting more of cooperation from the players' union and that they're actually closer to being able to agree on all fronts to have an actual schedule laid out for a return. With football, the J.C. Treader already said it. The PA hasn't agreed to anything that any proposals that the owners have out there. You know, we know what's going on with basketball. Michelle Roberts says she's less confident today than she was last week in terms of them being able to have a return to basketball. So, I mean, I just, in terms of the overall outlook, it feels like hockey is a lot closer than any of the other team sports.
Well, that's partly due to the fact that we have an awful CBA and the owners have the safety net of the escrow.
But that's a big part of it, though. I mean, for whatever reason, I mean, I get it. With the players, it might not necessarily be the win because you're going to lose money. But, I mean, ultimately, this is about trying to have a return to sport and trying to get us to, you know, closer to the normalcy that we're used to having in our country. But also, this is an opportunity for hockey to display what the game is all about, to try to make new fans. And being the first back is going to help you go a long way to doing that.
Yeah, absolutely it would. Of course it would. I mean, we're starved for sports, guys. We're starved for it. We're watching. We're dissecting classic games that we know the results of from 30 years ago. Documentaries are must-listen-to conversation in sports talk radio right now. You're going to give me live playoff hockey, and it's the first sport I'm going to have seen for 4 months? I'm going to have a countdown clock until it starts.
No, it's just good business. I mean, you can, you can only control what you can control. And for the players right now in the NHL is we can control getting back, having, you know, NBC on board because they have no summer Olympics. Mm-hmm. So we'll be at the forefront, which is great for us. It's great for, you know, this partnership. Let the owners make whatever money they're going to make because we don't get paid during the playoffs. I mean, there'll be, you know, bonuses for however far you make it. We're still missing one check. They're still trying to figure that out. But you don't know what the future holds. I think that's the one thing for the NHL players. Like, we don't know what next season is going to look like. I mean, the owners will still have, you know, whatever they decide to take out with escrow. But, I mean, let's not leave money on the table now because we're concerned about what's going to happen next year. Let's focus on now, get this season taken care of, make as, you know, much money as humanly possible under the circumstances, and then we'll, you know, we'll address next season when we have to address next season.
See, this is the kind of deep analysis that you're going to get on SportsCenter at like 12:03, 12:05 today with Rick just emerging from a bubble bath in a beautiful suit giving his wisdom on SportsCenter.
But see, that's the one thing that I would suggest to the Players Association with Major League Baseball is give yourself some kind of safety net. Because you don't, I mean, they have no idea, like, you can't forecast moving forward, like, how much money is actually going to be made or lost by ownership. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
Like, you don't know. You don't, like, they have no idea what the number's going to actually be. So, I mean, to sit there and just say, okay, I'm Mike Trout, you know, rather than making, you know, $37 million bucks a year?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to make seven? Well.
Yeah, that's, well, yeah, baseball is wilding for that one. The owners are,
how
the
do
owners
I agree to
are,
that?
The owners are being opportunists, though, Rick. I feel like they're asking a lot from the players in order to guarantee themselves cost certainty, where they already have the mechanism in place to be able to manage, you know, the financial implications of this pandemic. All they have to do is roll with the deferments. Like, they can put those in place, and if they can come to some agreement on that front, I think it makes it more palatable for both sides. But it feels like the baseball owners are intent on ramming this down the players' throat and framing them as the bad guys if they don't accept this deal.
And it feels like it's going to get worse before it gets better. Like, we're,
I mean,
we're
listen,
go through
Garrett Cole's supposed to make $36 million this year. Under the current proposal that the owners have out there, he's going to make $8 million. That's asking a little bit too much.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
let's
can't
take
have
a
the
break.
Owners. No, that's your fault. Let's take a break and we'll get into baseball.
Yeah, we'll take a break because we really want to tackle baseball appropriately. A couple of lovely tweets coming in. James Brett says, the three of us have just created a Christmas morning level excitement for noon on SportsCenter. And Joey Bag of Donuts with maybe the tweet of the day. So wait, you can't use Bang Bang on the radio, but you want him to pop out of a bathtub at noon on SportsCenter. I'm literally in tears right now. Well, yeah, this is what I'd like. I'd like you to pop out of the bathtub.
Stay
I need
tuned.
Something.
Who knows?
I don't
listen,
know.
Stay tuned.
I'm not even
you
saying
that.
Like, I understand that popping out of a bathtub, and all of our listeners have to multitask at noon. They have to have you on the television and the show on the radio or on the stream. But I understand if you feel it's you know, crossing the line terribly by bathtub, but something. It can't just be you in front of the generic bookcase with all your hockey awards behind you. Chris, you agree? I need something.
Yeah, he's got to bring a little extra flair, Dave. It just can't be the run-of-the-mill hit on SportsCenter that we're
right.
used to seeing from other analysts. It's got to be out. It's got to be outlandish because that is Rick DiPietro.
I like that word. You determine, Rick, how? Outlandish. Outlandish is what we do. I want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Just click listen live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app or simply tell your smart speaker, play ESPN New York at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go. We'll get to Major League Baseball and where we are with that. As optimistic and excited as we were with the NHL, baseball feeling almost the polar opposite right now. We'll get there in a moment. Mike in Parsippany. Mike, you're first up this morning on 98.7 ESPN. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good.
Did we lose him?
Just yesterday, and listening to Damon Lillard was saying that he doesn't want to come back if he doesn't have a legit shot. It got me thinking. They should take the 8 through 11 seeds from the East and the West, make a best-of-five series, and the last two teams on each side play a one-game play-in for the 8th seed and then roll right into the playoffs. And I just kind of wanted your thoughts on that. And two, don't stop talking about Rick getting out of the tub in the suit, because if you deviate from that, he'll change his mind. and I was super excited for that.
You want to see that, right, Mike?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm telling you, here's the thing, Rick. Thanks for the call. And this is what you're not realizing. And Chris, you will agree with me. A, it would be good for you. B, it would be so good for the show.
How would it be good for me? Please explain. How would this be good for me?
I'm glad you asked that. Because your name that people are, they're familiar with. They know, like, Rick DiPietro. But then I'm sure you get the occasional, like, wait, Rick DiPietro, who exactly is that? If you pop out of a tub, fully suited, and then break down the 24 teams that will be in the NHL postseason, now people are running to Google. They want to learn more about you.
Yes.
You might trend. Like, I think there's a good chance you trend on the internet. You trend on Twitter. Like, I think this is the memes of this would skyrocket. There's only good things. And Chris, you would agree. It would only be good for the show.
No, it'd only be good for the show, but I think it'd be great for Rick's individual career as well, Dave. I mean, think about it. If he actually followed through with this and popped out of the bathtub to do a hit on SportsCenter, I think more people would know Rick DiPietro from doing that than people know him being the first overall pick once upon a time in the NHL draft.
It would be like your own personal last dance.
Yes.
Without the 10 parts, just the one part, the single part, but that's what it would be like.
Yeah, but that's what concerns me. It would be only one part. I mean, that would be it. It would be the last dance. That would be it.
No, you'd be back by popular demand.
Oh, yeah, people would demand.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They would have no choice but to use you then. They have to bring you back.
They'd knock down the door.
Yes.
You might get a show. I think there's a very good chance that when we get out of this quarantine and pandemic that down at the Seaport, you're doing a daily half-hour hockey show where you just pop out of some bizarro place every time it starts.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. And that was actually that funny you mentioned that, because that was one of my ideas with Get Up, was I would be that guy.
See?
Problem being this is last time I was on Get Up, so you remember I wore the Daisy Duke suit because LeBron wore
the shorts,
so I took it a step further. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I took it a step further. That was great. People loved that. Next time I went on, which was the last time I went on, I actually asked Jay Williams where he got his turtleneck hemmed, and I asked him if he went to a Moyle, and that was the last time.
Here's the thing. You were insulting. You might not have seen it like this, but Chris, in some way he was insulting a staple of the show, right?
I don't know if he was insulting him, Dave.
He was making fun of. Like,
yes.
He was taking a shot at whatever, however you want to consider it. You're not making fun of anybody.
Well,
you're not mocking anybody.
Dave, listen, we know Rick is a habitual line stepper. I just think he didn't realize where the line was. And so he stepped across the line, and they popped his hand for it. But I think now he has a better idea of where the line is.
Yeah.
And he's not going to cross over that. And certainly popping up out of the bathtub to do a hit on the Noon Sports Center is not crossing the line.
No.
I think it's just entertaining as hell.
That's exactly.
Yeah. Nothing screams recognizing where the line is like popping out of a bathtub on Sports Center. That shows some real growth. Real maturation process.
You know what? For you and Mike. Many
Can't
people might
bang,
see
bang.
This happen and say, you know what? Honestly, he's taken himself to the next level. Like, he's clearly grown up.
Oh, yeah. Clearly grown up. Yeah, doing live hits out of a bathtub. Clearly grown up.
So, if you wear like the shower cap like my mother wears, and then take it off, and then your hair is perfectly coiffed. Oh, it'd be so good.
But, Dave, he'd have to be stoic, though, right? Like,
yeah.
He couldn't laugh about
it. No, just play it right off.
He has to be serious.
I'm glad you asked that, Randy, and here's what I'm thinking. 24, like, yes, absolutely.
It is Randy. That's the funny thing. It is going to be Randy. I just got the email.
Randy and?
I think it's probably Randy and Briscoe. I think it's probably Randy and Nicole. It's Randy asking me the questions, though.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Sensational.
That would be hilarious, though. That would be like, almost like my favorite, one of my favorite SNL skits when they're in the hot tub. When it's Will Ferrell and Jimmy Fallon in the hot tub.
Yeah.
No, I want it to be a pop out of the bathtub moment, like Odell Beckham popping out of the bathtub in Jamoris Jenkins' social media post. Like, that's what I want it to look like. That's what I want it to be.
It would almost have to be like Cassie was filming me, And as they go to me, I just like all of a sudden come up out of the water.
Yeah.
And then grab the earpiece and put it in like there's nothing going on.
That's exactly yes. what it is. She listens. Yes. The second she hears the question, passes it, you know, to you. You pop out, put it in, answer the question. Away we go. Seamless. Seamless. All right. The caller and his question, you know, NBA, could they do something? It sounded like similar to what the NHL is doing. Of course they could. You can do whatever you want right now if you're one of these sports.
Yeah, but I don't know if you have to do East and West. I mean, it's going to be one hub city. So if you decide to do, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, do you want to see the Knicks? No. Do you want to see the Bulls?
I don't need to see
them. But I would love to see the Pelicans.
Sure.
I'd like to see the Trailblazers.
Yeah, but you don't need to see the dregs of the NBA. But if you did similar.
No, but you're trying to do it. But you're trying to do it even. You know what I'm saying? Like if you're, I mean, it sounds like they're leaning more towards trying to add more teams. Cause if you're smart, I mean, if you're Adam Silver and he's smart, everyone wants to see Zion, right? I mean, getting New Orleans into this, whatever it ends up being, playing or whatever, would be great for basketball. But if you start, I mean, you look at 1 through 8 in the East, right? Orlando's the AC. They got 30 wins. And then you got Washington, Charlotte, the Bulls, and the Knicks. Knicks have 21 wins. Trailblazers have 29. Pelicans have 28, Kings have 28, Spurs have 27. Even the Phoenix Suns have 26. So I don't necessarily know. Like, if you want to add more teams, I don't think it has to be East and West. You could do it where you just take, you know what I mean? Like, you take the best of however many teams you want to add. Could be more West teams than East teams. Probably more.
So maybe
West
the top 20 teams. Records?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I could be on
as
board
opposed
with that.
To, you know what I mean? As opposed to taking four from the East, like the four... You know,
right.
Taking 9, 10, 11, and 12 from the East, which would put the Knicks in, and 9, 10, 11, and 12 from the West. You know what I'm saying?
But
yeah,
so
if you took the top 20 records, you would have Orlando as the 8th seed in the East, and that'd be the last Eastern Conference team that you would have in, and then you would have the San Antonio Spurs as the 12th team in the West as the last Western Conference team. I could be on board with something like that, having 20 teams. Why not?
Yeah, you take the 16, you take the top 8, and then you
have... All right,
have,
so you're taking the top 8 in each conference, right?
Yeah, and then you're taking the next four best records, which would be Portland, the Pelicans, the Kings, and the Spurs.
Okay, which I'm fine with as well. Now continue to go. So these four teams are going to do what? They're going to play in a little series? There's going to be what?
Well, you could do the same thing the NHL did.
Yeah, like a qualifying round. Yeah.
Yeah, you can do... I mean, you could do seven plays... Or 8 play, you know what I mean? Like, you give them the opportunity to play themselves into the last couple spots of the playoffs.
Okay, so like the back end of the teams that you're going to say are the playoff teams will go up against these wild card kind of teams.
Yes.
Yeah, because they're going to want to play, too. I mean, you'd like to play some kind of meaningful games before you jump into a playoff series. That's why I like the NHL's proposal. And then find a way for the best teams to play some kind of... They probably won't want to do a round-robin thing, but... Whatever it is, I mean, find a way to get them some games so they're ready to go when the playoffs do actually start.
Now, I've said a million times I don't want to hear complaining, but I will say this. Like, the Lakers need to get the number one seed. Like, the Lakers should not need to go through some kind of a round robin to get the top seed in the Western Conference, right?
Agreed, Dave. Agreed. I think the Lakers and the Bucks don't need to have a play-in or a round robin to see who gets the number one overall seed. Both of those teams are worthy of having number one overall seeds.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, the Lakers have a 5.5 game lead, and the Bucks have a 6.5 game lead.
Right.
Rick, I think you nailed it. I think you nailed it. You have the 7 and 8 seeds in each conference play against those four wild card teams.
Yeah.
And that's the qualifying round, and then after that, you jump into the normal playoff format. What's wrong with that?
There's nothing.
Everybody
wrong with
wins.
That. There's nothing wrong with that.
And I like the fact that it's going to be. And I like the fact that the NBA has centralized, so they're going to create one big bubble, and you're not going to have the risk of these players having. Outside folks exposing them and potentially transmitting the virus. I like that idea. I think NBA and NHL, what they're proposing, makes a lot more sense than what's on the table for Major League Baseball. Logistics standpoint.
Yeah, Major League Baseball is going to be a tough hill to climb here. And there's going to be people on each side of the fence, and there's going to be a lot of anger, it feels like. All right, 800-919-3776. Andy from Merrick is ready to go. He's got his question all lined up. So we'll do questions. Mike Tenenbaum, get into Major League Baseball. Rick's going to go on SportsCenter. Now, what does this do for you with CMT? Does this take you away from CMT, or are you going to go from the bath right into the segment?
Well, it depends on how long this thing lasts. So I'm going to have to leave a little bit, sooner just to make sure I get everything straightened out, because they're going to call me earlier just to make sure the whole connection thing works. And then however long it takes, then I'll bounce back and we'll see where we're at. Mm-hmm. I have CMT lined up.
You do?
So that, I mean, it is available.
And especially after the heels of yesterday, which was my favorite one.
I know you liked that one.
I did. I thought
it was
great.
That one.
I thought it was great. And observations also will be in play today.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a regular show. It's just okay. Me jumping out for a couple minutes to do my, 90-second spot on SportsCenter.
I can't wait for this. I don't know why I'm so excited. See, this is what I need. I need live sports. Even you,
I mean,
being
if
on
this
SportsCenter.
Excited for me to come out of.
Yeah.
How about,
yeah,
Dinahan? What if Cassie is also in the tub with you? He's such a bad.
How good would it be? It'd be so good.
Yeah, it would be good, but it would be, I mean, that would be it. It would be finito. That would be the last time I was ever asked.
Okay, but talk about
that. That'd be the last dance for Rick DiPietro on SportsCenter?
Yeah, the last dance, probably with more controversy than the actual documentary Last Dance.
Do you not think you'd trend on Twitter?
I would trend, but what does that do for me? I mean, here's what I have to do. If this is going to happen, from the time we go to break now until the time the SportsCenter hit happens, I'm going to have to start, like, lining up some other options.
Call your
things
agent.
I can do once.
You get your agent,
what
get
I can
your agent
do
on the line at 11:30. Let's plan the next steps in your career after the Tubgate.
After I get fired. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, after
right.
Tubgate. Fired. You don't work. You don't work for them.
I work for ESPN.
Yeah, but they're going to fire from popping out of a tub?
Yeah. I mean, we have bosses, you know what I mean, like, that work at the actual network. If they don't like what I did, I'm sure they can pick up the phone and get a hold of our boss. I mean, we still are ESPN Radio.
That'd be very petty. come on.
Which would actually tie in perfectly to The Last Dance. Yeah, maybe it's all just lining up for me to be just popping out of the bathroom.
I think it makes perfect sense.
You guys, listen, you know I'm going to end up, like, you're going to end up forcing me to do this because there's still way too much time left in the show for me to not get talked into this. It's going to end bad. It's going to end poorly, I think.
Now, here's what we could do also. John O'Loughlin tweets in, have Rick and his wife in the tub. I will donate $10,000 to COVID relief.
Wow.
We could start a relief program. There's no way they could fire a guy that just raised $75,000 for COVID relief.
Dave brings up
That's a great point,
Rico.
Definitely not going to see it.
Great point.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. I got Hinkie Haynes saying don't do it. He doesn't want me to do it. It'd be too much fallout.
I don't think so. I think it'd be sensational.
What do you mean you don't think so?
It is entertainment, Rico, and that would be entertaining.
That's right, and that's what we're looking for now.
Did you see the picture of Hinkie Haynes has got me in the tub?
Oh, it's great. It's great.
Oh, it'd be so good. It really would be good.
Yeah, it's genius. It's got to be. Today on ESPN Daily, the NBA is actively hashing plans to restart the season. Don't call it a bubble, but Disney's Orlando-based campus is the front runner. And not all 30 teams are likely to be involved. Hear more on ESPN Daily. Subscribe right now wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's go. Andy in Merrick, we welcome you in. Andy, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, guys. Hope all is well with you.
We are well. Now, Andy, you seem to be somewhat of the voice of reason of the show. You call in. You have a daily segment. You agree that Rick should absolutely pop out of the bathtub SportsCenter noon today, yes?
You know, the E in ESPN is actually entertainment.
Mm.
That said, I don't think it bodes well for his long-term career.
Come on, Andy.
Love Rick. Don't want to see him go.
Go ahead with your question.
All right. Today is the 29th anniversary of the infamous Pistons leaving the court without congratulating Michael Jordan. So, CC, my question to you is, who holds the NBA's career three-point field goal percentage?
Career three-point field goal percentage. Give me a second. This is one that I should know.
Think about the history we just talked about.
Okay, so you're bringing that up. Who would that be? Now you got me thrown off, Andy.
No, you just threw
me a curveball because that wasn't who I was thinking.
I think he led you down the path with the the Bulls relationship, I think.
It's a very last dance kind of answer here.
Huh.
Still associated with the NBA.
Steve Kerr?
My man.
Okay. Steve Kerr, all right.
Very involved in the NBA, Dave. Very involved.
Heavily involved.
All right, Rick. Man, a goalie known for his assists. My question to you is, What player holds the record for the most assists in one basketball game with 30?
I knew this.
Dave, you know this?
Yeah.
With most assists. 30 assists in one basketball game. I don't feel like this is nearly as easy as the first question.
I believe he was also a coach in the NBA.
He did coach in the NBA for a number of years.
Yeah.
I think he played on 5 teams in 10 years, something to that effect.
And Dave, you know this.
I do. And I think he used to be, I think he used to be Kevin Greavy, but this guy broke it.
This guy broke it. Yeah.
Often described as gritty and gutty.
Yeah, not a great player by any stretch.
So he must be white then if he's gritty and gutty. That's a polite way to say not overly athletic.
To be correct, yes.
Yeah. Man, I don't even know. Is it...
I tell you where he went.
Dave, help me out a little bit.
I didn't think that would help.
No, help me out a little bit.
His first name and last name have the same initial, I believe. Is that right, Andy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know. Dave, answer it for me. I don't even know.
Scott Skiles?
Scott Skiles is correct.
Nice, David.
So pretty. Yep. Nice, Dave.
Way to pick up your teammate. All
right,
no,
Dave. I won't know. Wherever you're going to go next, I'm sure I won't know it.
No, you'll get this one, but I got a bonus one waiting for you in the wings.
All right.
Your question is, who holds a single season record for most blocks by an NBA player?
Most blocks in a season?
456.
Oh, God. Mark Eaton.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, you ready?
This is ridiculous.
Question.
This is almost ridiculous.
I am the smartest man alive!
I don't know how Dave knows all this stuff.
Your bonus question, and Dave,
like 7 foot
is
five.
Challenge.
Go ahead.
What player has the most career attempted three-pointers without making a single one?
Oh, that's a good question. This is a tough question.
Relatively recently retired.
So it's got to be a big man.
It is.
I almost say it was Ben Simmons.
That's actually who I was going to say originally was Ben Simmons.
But he hit one.
He hit one.
God. I don't know. I'm going to need some kind of a hint, Andy.
He's been considered a little bit of a dirty player over the course of his NBA career.
And is it years ago this guy played?
No, he retired 2018-2019.
Oh, he just retired. Dirty player.
2018-2019.
Kind of known for rolling up onto people as they were taking their jump shots.
What was that? Oh, what's his face? He was with Did he play with Golden State? Varejo?
He did 2 years with Golden State, that's true.
The Anderson Varejo guy?
No.
Varejo? No.
No. Zsa Pachulia.
Pachulia.
Oh, 0-31 in his career on attempted three-pointers.
Well, good for
guys,
him.
Great job. Stay healthy.
All right. We love it, Andy from Merrick. Good stuff, as always.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.